the simple answer is that it's sort of this symptom of colonization and the way that our communities are suffering. And so when, you know, when women are not in power, when women are living under racism and sexism and patriarchy, they're easier to prey upon. And then couple that with the lack of response from law enforcement, and it's a recipe for exploitation.
That is Simone Senegals. She and Adriana Goodwin are both Indigenous women, and they stopped by the studio along with Adriana's 7-week-old baby boy, Everett, to talk about a walk taking place in Bemidji February 14th that is part of a worldwide effort to bring awareness and justice and honor to the missing and murdered Indigenous women. Adriana, let's talk about the missing and murdered Indigenous women. And how big of a problem is this?
It's an issue that isn't talked about enough to really understand how big this is impacting our communities, our Indigenous families, our young women, our mothers, our grandmothers.
Some of the statistics, and again, these statistics are incomplete because there's just not enough data, there's not enough mechanisms to really accurately do good counts. But what we do know, 4 out of 5 Native American women are expected to encounter violence in their lifetime. Some data from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in 2016, they stated that the third leading cause of death for Native American and Alaska Native women and girls aged 10 to 24 is murder. And then the National Crime Information Database, which reports that there are 5,712 known incidents of missing and murdered Indigenous women as of 2016. And again, there's so many that we don't know about or that are not on a database. I think there's kind of a few things that go on that contribute to the lack of information and action around missing and murdered Indigenous women. Racism and discrimination. Colonization has effects on people that are deep and far-reaching. And sometimes some of the things that we're going through, they look like causes rather than symptoms. Like people are like, oh, Natives are, you know, there's lots of negative stereotypes that we have to fight against. I see those things that we're dealing with as symptoms of colonization, not causes for what's happening to us. For example, one of the things that Native women sometimes face when they try to go to law enforcement is this perception of them as less important, as living lifestyles that invite violence. And it's hard to even say that, but it's true that that's what we face when we try to get help. And those are all things that I think stem from colonization and the dehumanizing of Indigenous peoples, the devaluing of Indigenous women. And I think that attacks on Indigenous women from the beginning have been a major tool of colonization. If you want to disempower a people, you attack the women. And I think Indigenous women have been dealing with that and are still dealing with that. I was just looking at a recent poll that suggests when it comes to reporting relevant crimes, 36% of Native Americans say they avoid calling the police because of fear of discrimination. So if you couple that reluctance to report the crime in the first place, along with a lack of resources around mechanisms that help to compile the data and help law enforcement agencies and other agencies to share data, especially across state lines. There's this National Crime Information Center database, and that is a mechanism that can be used to compile data and help inform law enforcement agencies when they are looking for missing people. And so a lot of reservations don't have a portal into that database. And so when things get reported on a reservation, for example, that data may or may not get to that larger database. There are a lot of reasons that contribute to our lack of knowledge about just how big this problem is. I saw a quote that I thought was really interesting, and it was by a woman named Laura Madison, who has done a project called Wiyabi, which is trying to map some of the murdered and missing Indigenous women. And she says, Indigenous women go missing twice, once in real life and a second time in the news. And I think it speaks to the overall devaluing of Indigenous women and LGBTQ Two-Spirit people who are also in this group of people who are going missing and murdered and experienced violence at these really high rates.
Touching back, the issue of people not knowing about it, sometimes the media doesn't pick up on these cases, whether that is because this woman may have been seen in the communities or portrayed as something less than she was, could also be a factor into that.
Yeah, there was a woman from Minnesota, Edith Chavez. She suspected that she was drugged and taken to Williston, North Dakota. Mm-hmm. And then when she escaped and she went and she reported it to the Williston police, it says, who refused to take her statement and instead checked her record. The result, they detained and charged her for an unpaid traffic ticket from 2011.
That was Simone Senegals. She and Adriana Goodwin are talking about missing and murdered Indigenous women.
In the Bemidji community, we lost an Indigenous sister just a few years ago, Rose Downwind, and that really devastated our communities. And just not knowing for so long what happened to her, and then finding bits and pieces more to what actually happened in her last few moments of life is just so disheartening. And it brings about the question, what more do we need to be doing? Mm-hmm. In this event that we're co-organizing, along with hundreds of other marches being held at the same time. There's one in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. There's one in the Red Lake community. It'll be in Panema. Mm-hmm. And Leech Lake is also organizing a walk.
So it's not just here.
No. It's been going on for years. It started in Vancouver in Canada. It's been going on decades.
Decades.
The Bemidji Area Solidarity Walk to bring justice and honor to the missing and murdered Indigenous women is certainly one way to spread the word about this problem. What can we do as a society to help remedy it? Adriana?
I think that the more we talk about these kind of things, the easier it is, because they are so hard to talk about. It is uncomfortable. We don't want to talk about our brothers beating up their girlfriends or seeing our dad hit our moms at home. Yeah. You know, we don't want to talk about those kind of things because it hurts. And even right now, you know what I mean, thinking about it, thinking about the violence, it really hurts. And even the violence that I have endured as an Indigenous woman, as an Indigenous mother. You know, I am a statistic. Support one another, believe one another, and be there for one another.
I think, and look at the truth. Don't hide from the truth. There's a lot of components. So there's awareness, there's changing of policy, there's empowerment of women, there's the simple one, too, is like, talk to the men.
Yeah.
All of these things are affecting it, and all of these things need to be addressed to correct it and to have justice and healing and an empowerment of Indigenous women and LGBTQ Two-Spirit, too. They face a lot of violence, a lot of prejudice, a lot of discrimination. One of the ways for healing within our communities is that we look to our traditions and the way that our societies were structured, and there was more respect for everyone in society, and everyone had a very special role in society, and also to express themselves for whoever they were. And so that's, again, back to that colonization thing, is that that has affected our ability to really understand who we are and to act accordingly. And so when we look back, we are like, oh, yeah, you know, like we loved up everybody.
Right. Because that established community structure was fractured by colonization.
It really was. And so that's part of the intentional healing process, is to go back and look at where did those biases for LGBTQ people come from. They did not originate in our community, and so we have to remember that.
When people go for affection and a child says no, to really be respectful of them saying no. Mm-hmm. You know, no, I don't want to hug grandma or grandpa, or no, I don't want to kiss. Yeah. Okay, respect those boundaries, because that's teaching them that they need to respect that when someone says no. Or like when a boy has a crush on a girl, the boy will be mean to that little girl, and that's not a positive way to show affection. We have to teach our young boys and even our girls that hitting one another isn't okay, whether you think that it's okay to do it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always efforts to address it. And one that I've noticed lately that really stands out is through Planned Parenthood and its outreach to Native youth. And there's a whole session that they can go through.
Native Stand. Native Stand. There's one in Red Lake, too.
Yep. Started. Native Stand is a project of Planned Parenthood and works to educate Indigenous youth around issues such as healthy self-image, healthy relationships, healthy body image, knowledge of body. And I think that's a really powerful program in our community. And it's one of many that Indigenous peoples do and have always done to try to work toward having strong communities. And we're such strong, beautiful people. And it's just always really amazing to see all the work that's being done. And we don't want to ever forget that there are people who have been in the trenches forever.
And talk about those hard to talk about subjects, sex.
Domestic violence and abuse and systemic violence and genocide and racism and sexism. Like I said, it's not just individual behaviors. It's a whole society, and it's sort of hard to see the stem of it, but it permeates everything. And so we have to be brave, and we have to be willing to look hard at ourselves. We have to be willing also to love and forgive ourselves and see ourselves as part of a system that has been against us for many, many years, and to have compassion for our healing process. Also have strength to stand up against injustice. I mean, all of those things have to take place.
That is Simone Senegals. She and Adriana Goodwin are in the studio talking about the problem of domestic violence. They are part of a group organizing the Bemidji Solidarity Walk, honoring and giving justice to missing and murdered Indigenous women. The walk will take place February 14th.
The walk is going to start at the Northwest Indian Community Development Center at 1819 Bemidji Avenue, next to Slumberland. Mm-hmm. That's how I always remember where it is. And so we're going to start at 10 a.m., and we'll have materials there for people who want to make signs. And then we will walk to Beaux-Arts at BSU. And then from about 11:30 to 1, we'll have our program there, which will be the Jingle Dress Healing Dance. There'll be a drum there, and then we'll have a light lunch. If people have family members or loved ones who are missing or murdered or who they want to honor or remember at the walk, we encourage them to come and bring a picture or some other item of remembrance or a sign with the person's name, and we'll have them walking with us to make sure that we remember our sisters and our loved ones who have been affected.
Thanks to Simone and Adriana for stopping by today. The National Domestic Violence Hotline telephone number is 1-800-799-SAFE. 1-800-799-7233. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.